faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Yes, he does. And it don't matter what MAGA and Fox News have to say about it.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is the Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA and on dozens of other fine affiliate stations on both the airwaves and the internets around the country and the world, blanketing planet Earth, perhaps even reaching the remnants of the late planet Krypton. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around swell fellow, says me from bradblog.com. Thank you very much for joining us today for another thrilling edition of the Bradcast. Coming up, I gotta say, I am really looking forward to today's interview, Desi Doyen.
Yes, I know.
That is, of course, the Bradcast Lois Lane, Desi Doyen. I'm really looking forward to it, where we will, yes, be talking politics, but also talking Superman. Yes, Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. No matter how much MAGA and Fox News may feel otherwise about it, and no matter how much this literal illegal alien loves immigrants and loves his country, talking about Superman here, all at the same time. And he has been doing so for almost a century now, no matter what Fox News and actual Nazis have had to say about it over the years. We'll get to that momentarily with the University of Illinois' Nicholas Grossman. And don't worry, even though we saw the new James Gunn Superman movie over the weekend, and it was really fun, I thought.
Yes.
You thought so too?
Oh, definitely.
You, despite that, you do not have to worry about any spoilers in case you have not seen it yet. First up, however, some quick news. As noted on our program yesterday, it was primary day on Tuesday this week in the normally very blue 7th Congressional District of Arizona, along the southern border of the state and on up into parts of Tucson in Pima County, where a special election is underway to fill the seat of longtime 12-term Congressman Raul Grijalva, who passed away in March of this year. Given the left-leaning tilt of the 7th District in Arizona, the winner of Tuesday's Democratic primary is almost certain to go on to win the seat when the general election for this special election is held in September. And that winner on Tuesday of the Democratic primary, reportedly by a very wide margin, is Adelita Grijalva, the progressive, longtime Pima County school board member and county supervisor who was endorsed by progressives like Bernie Sanders and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and happens to be the 54-year-old eldest daughter of the late congressman, who had held that seat for more than 20 years. It was a five-way race on the Democratic side, with Grijalva appearing to defeat her closest rival, 25-year-old activist and social media influencer Deja Fox, by some 40 points as of airtime today.
And she already has experience in elected office.
Grijalva
does,
yes. With some, not that that matters, frankly. I think that Deja Fox would have been great in the role. But in any event, Grijalva defeated Fox by some 40 points with about 70% of the vote unofficially tallied right now, despite a lively campaign that was run by Fox and a call for change from her and many of her younger supporters, even as both Fox and Grijalva's progressive ideology are not particularly different. The 35-year-old Daniel Hernandez, a former state lawmaker, he was characterized as running in the center in the Democratic primary. He came in a distant third, and with support from both the progressive and establishment wings of the Democratic Party, including Arizona's U.S. Senators Mark Kelly and Ruben Gallego. Well, it turns out the Grijalva the Younger appears to have coasted to an easy victory on Tuesday. In a three-way race on the Republican side, with, as expected, very low turnout relative to the number of Democrats who turned out, painting company contractor Daniel Gutierrez easily won the GOP nomination for that seat to face Grijalva in September in the very large geographically, if sort of sparsely populated in most of it, a district that is, as I say, deep blue, stretching across much of the state's southern border with Mexico. No problems of note for voters or in the tabulation has come to my attention so far, though, as we always note, that can still happen in the days and weeks, and even longer sometimes, following Election Day. If it does, we will, of course, let you know about it. The special general election for the U.S. House seat in Arizona's 7th District will be held on September 23. While much of the news world is otherwise focused today, it seems, on the rift between Donald Trump and his MAGA supporters, who are mad at him for seemingly reversing course on his vow to release the so-called Epstein files, which perhaps we'll cover in the future, even though there may not be enough popcorn in the world for this particular fight, as Trump is now being seen by longtime MAGA supporters in a new light. In fact, as the liar that he is regarding the release of those files, that if they exist, Trump himself is almost certainly named throughout them, as he was a close friend of Jeffrey Epstein for many years. But while much attention has been on that, meanwhile, his administration has been gutting the federal workforce this week following last week's ruling by the corrupted right-wing activist U.S. Supreme Court majority that wholesale firings of government employees may proceed, even hundreds of thousands of them, even as cases challenging those removals are still working their way through the lower courts. Additionally, on Monday of this week, the High Court again allowed the Trump Department of Education to lay off nearly 1,400 workers despite the wishes of Congress, despite ongoing litigation and objections at both a lower court and the lower appeals court, who determined this should not happen while the case is underway. But with the three liberal justices in dissent, the court on Monday paused an order from U.S. District Judge Myung Jun in Boston, who issued a preliminary injunction reversing the Trump layoffs previously and has called into question the administration's broader plan. The layoffs, quote, will cripple the department, the judge said. And yet the high court, their action on Monday has enabled the administration to resume work on shutting down the Department of Education entirely. Now, why did the High Court do that? Well, no one knows. Because the cowards in the corrupted pro-Trump majority didn't even bother to explain. They just said, sure, it's fine with us. You can go ahead and fire 1,400 workers. Even though the judge actually looking at the information decided that that would cripple the Department of Education mandated to exist by Congress. It's a decision, the court's decision in favor of Trump, as is now apparently the custom in emergency appeals rulings from this court, was not explained. But in dissent, Justice Sonia Sotomayor complained that her colleagues in the majority were enabling legally questionable action on the part of the administration, writing, quote, "When the executive publicly announces its intent to break the law and then executes on that promise, it is the judiciary's duty to check that lawlessness, not expedite it," Sotomayor wrote for herself and Justices Ketanji Brown Jackson and Elena Kagan. Well, that used to be the way it worked anyway, prior to the Trump authoritarian takeover of the United States of America. Sotomayor continued, quote, "Two lower courts rose to the occasion, preliminarily enjoining the mass firings while the litigation remains ongoing. Rather than maintain the status quo, however, this court now intervenes, lifting the injunction and permitting the government to proceed with dismantling the department." And by the way, that's how these emergency rulings on the emergency docket used to work. There was, you know, what will keep the status quo in place until all of this is sorted out?
Because of the danger of irreparable harm.
Correct. Sotomayor continued, "That decision is indefensible. It hands the executive the power to repeal statutes by firing all those necessary to carry them out. The majority is either willfully blind to the implications of its ruling or naive, but either way, the threat to our Constitution's separation of powers is grave," she said, "unable to join in this misuse of our emergency docket. I respectfully dissent," wrote Sotomayor in the opinion, joined by Jackson and Kagan. The Supreme Court has handed Trump one victory after another, AP notes in their coverage, in his effort to remake the federal government even after lower courts have repeatedly found the administration's actions almost certainly violate federal law. The high court doesn't care. Of the 17 emergency applications to the high court from the Trump administration, it has ruled on 15, and all 15 rulings have been in Trump's favor. All 15 rulings, that according to Georgetown law professor Steve Laddick. Separately, on Monday, 24 states and the District of Columbia sued the administration to try to unfreeze nearly $7 billion in education funding that they were due to receive on July 1 as mandated by congressional appropriation and the rule of law, at least until now. The funding freeze is already adversely impacting school and provider budgets that relied on those federal monies. The ongoing Education Department case involves two consolidated suits that said Trump's plan amounted to an illegal closure of the Education Department. And in fact, if that turns out to be the case, then what? What happens then after they have fired thousands of workers? The suits argued that layoffs left the department unable to carry out responsibilities required by Congress, including duties to support special education, distribute financial aid, and enforce civil rights law. The six corrupted right-wingers on the high court, well, they felt otherwise, though they didn't bother to explain why. Can you blame them? Cowards. Since then, mass layoffs at the Education Department and others have been happening now very quickly, all week long. Veteran diplomats, according to NBC News, have been baffled this week by the mass layoffs that are now happening, with more than 1,300 State Department employees let go this week. That's about 15% of its domestic workforce. CNN reports that thousands of health and human service employees across its numerous agencies were terminated by email on Monday afternoon following the high court's terrible and unexplained ruling last week as part of the planned purge that had been held up for sometime by lower court rulings that were adverse to the Trump administration until his corrupted SCOTUS stepped in, crippling American schools and diplomacy and healthcare and scientific research, just to name a few of the American institutions now gutted by this administration, with more undoubtedly to come. That, I guess, is what he meant by making America great again. So if MAGA thinks that they should be happy about the loss of American diplomatic soft power across the globe and healthcare to millions of Americans and cutting-edge scientific research here at home, just cutting that off, well, I guess they have no trouble turning against yet another American icon, another American institution, Superman. Yeah, the Man of Steel. And frankly, what he means to a nation of immigrants, beginning at the time of his creation in the 1930s, right up until this week, this past weekend, as James Gunn's new Superman movie arrived like a bolt of light from the planet Krypton at the weekend's box office. Despite the tears, no doubt, from our apparently anti-American friends at places like, oh, I don't know, Fox News. Why all of that matters today as much as ever is a conversation I'm looking forward to and that I will have next with political science professor Nicholas Grossman of the University of Illinois right after a quick break, so you can take some of your popcorn from the Epstein files and save it for this conversation about Superman. That's next right here on the broadcast. I'm Brad Friedman.
What the public hears on the public airwaves matters. At the broadcast, we do our best to bring you accurate news and analysis on the issues that actually matter, and we do it all independently without corporate or political influence. But we can't do it without you, now more than ever. Please help us stay on your public airwaves by going to bradblog.com/donate to help keep us going. That's bradblog.com/donate. And thanks.
Is Superman super woke?
He's got a woke shield.
We don't go to the movie theater to be lectured to and to have successful.
You know what it says on his cape? MS-13.
Wow.
I mean, Superman's a legal alien. He doesn't even come from America. He doesn't come from a planet. Batman, baby. Batman's where it's at.
That is so weak and so so woke. It's just validating why I was so into Aquaman more than Superman.
Look, I don't think there's any confusion here. We're being told not to love our country, or at least it feels that way.
The reality is he's sort of dismantling this legacy that a lot of people loved and were inspired by their entire lives. Why can't we keep things like that sort of the same and then add on new things, right, without always having to destroy and destruct what was already there?
When you put out a movie like Superman, mm-hmm. you are inviting people to escape for a couple of hours.
Yep.
But if I'm going there being lectured to about immigration, and he's like, well, this is an immigration movie, and if you're not careful, ICE will round you up too.
They are blowing the Superman franchise.
Wow. Boy, Fox News was really knocking it out of the park last week, weren't they? Welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. Now, we don't cover a lot of cultural stuff on this program, but I got to tell you, I just couldn't resist this one. In the days before some in MAGA decided to, at least briefly, we'll see how long it actually lasts, turn on their hero Donald Trump and his Attorney General Pam Bondi for refusing to release the so-called Epstein client list, well, they were busy railing against, of all people, Superman. or at least director James Gunn's new Superman movie, which opened last weekend, because apparently they believe that the new Superman, played by actor David Corenswet, had, as you heard there in that montage, gone woke somehow, undermining the most American of American institutions, Superman. Quote, Fox News is mad about Superman, wrote University of Illinois international relations professor and political scientist Nicholas Grossman in his ARC Digital newsletter last week. Ahead of the movie's release, multiple Fox shows denounced it as woke, with former Trump White House communications advisor Kellyanne Conway complaining, quote, we don't go to the movie theater to be lectured to and to have somebody throw their ideology onto us. Woke, Grossman notes, is an ambiguous term, especially on right-wing media, which uses it as a catch-all for things I don't like. But Fox commentators were clear that their objections are to Superman's positive attitude towards immigration and diversity. Quote, super woke, iconic movie hero to embrace pro-immigrant themes, blared one Chiron on Fox. Pro-immigrant themes? For the Man of Steel, say it ain't so. Of course, a pro-immigrant Superman is not particularly unusual unless you were born 10 minutes ago and immediately awarded with a job hosting a Fox News show and therefore did not realize that Superman, created by high school chums Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, one of them an immigrant, the other the son of immigrants, in 1938, both of them Jewish, well, that Superman has long been pro-immigrant, especially because, as described at the top of the 1950s Adventures of Superman TV show, he was a strange visitor from another planet. Which makes me wonder, are those folks on Fox News actually from another planet? Yes, it seems the Man of Steel is now the next all-American institution to be turned on by the far right, the Donald Trump Make America Great Again set, who has devoted valuable portions of their lives and I guess ours in recent years to turning on such anti-American institutions like the NFL, Mattel's Barbie, Budweiser, and yes, now Superman. Joining us now with perhaps some insight into this madness is Professor Nicholas Grossman of the University of Illinois, an expert in American foreign policy and national security, as author, for example, of 2018's seemingly prescient Drones and Terrorism, Asymmetric Warfare and the Threat to Global Security, but who took the time last week in his newsletter to write about all of this in an article headlined, Why MAGA Hates Superman. Professor Grossman, welcome back to the broadcast, sir. I loved your piece on this at ARC Digital, Nicholas.
Hi, Brad. Thanks for having me on. And I usually write about politics, but when I get a chance to talk about something pop culture and mix it with broader cultural and political themes, that's probably my favorite things to write. So this one was right in my wheelhouse.
Well, you did a great job. And I will, of course, link people over to your piece so they can take it all in. But when we last spoke to you, I looked it up. It was actually 2022. We were talking about Ukraine's attempt to defend itself against that year's, the beginning of that year's full-on attack by Russia. Little could I have guessed that just 3 years later, Nicholas, we'd be discussing Fox News's full-on attack of Superman. But here we are, Professor. I should note, I saw the film over the weekend and at the most all-American of places, by the way, at a drive-in. I loved it. But I just want to let folks know, we're not going to give away any spoilers for those who have yet to see it. But MAGA and the Fox Kitties seemed to get touched off last week, even before any of them actually saw the movie, which has gone on to be a hit despite the right-wing backlash, when director James Gunn was cited as saying during an interview that, quote, Superman is the story of America, an immigrant that came from other places and populated the country. But for me, it is mostly a story that says basic human kindness is a value and is something we have lost, said James Gunn. Well, that sounds bad. So helpfully, you go on to break down just why, as you write, each part of Gunn's quote there embodies the opposite of what MAGA seems to stand for. Something we have lost, basic human kindness is a value, an immigrant that came from other places. Let's start with something we have lost. How did that trigger MAGA, which seems to think that pro-immigrant, pro-diversity Superman is actually something new here?
Right. So it was a ridiculous reaction in a number of ways. And it's also why I wrote this before seeing the movie. And, you know, so it's about the Superman character more broadly in its place in America. And the one thing that struck me about this is, and to take it really serious right away, the core feature of fascism is to misremember or to have this kind of nostalgic, not accurate version of the past and to say that we have lost that and we need to get back to it. But that thing that they are trying to get back to was never real, you know, never really happened. Mm-hmm. And you can see this in many different variations on different fascist systems. And so I thought this was a really good example of this because Superman has always been woke, or in particular, always pro-immigrant and pro-diversity. That you can, so when you mentioned, you know, 1938, you have these two Jewish Americans. You can imagine in 1938, they were, you know, much more. This was created as a underdog, you know, nerdy reporter goes into the phone booth and comes out and he's the strongest guy ever and is able to, it's basically inverting the German concept, the Nietzschean concept of the Übermensch, and saying like, okay, the Übermensch, or literally the Superman, exists, but he hates you Nazis and, you know, he opposes you. So you can go back and find, you know, in the 1940s, there was a radio show where Superman took on, it was something called the Clan of the Fiery Cross, you know, very unsubtly the Ku Klux Klan, and a real reporter who had really infiltrated the real Ku Klux Klan used that show to expose real secrets about them. You can find 1950s posters of Superman telling everybody to, it's like, respect diversity. If you hear anybody say that because of somebody's race or religion that they're not American, well, that is un-American. So he's really standing up for the American vision as diversity. So Superman himself has always been that way. And also America has long been that way. Of not only do you have, you know, all the history of the nation of immigrants, you've got the Statue of Liberty saying, you know, bring us, you're tired, you're poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. And you've got Ronald Reagan, you know, a Republican hero before they went and repudiated a lot of his legacy with Trump, that Reagan in his farewell speech compared America to this shining city on the hill. You know, of course immigrants want to come here. It's awesome. It was basically the attitude. And it has made us stronger because we're basically a talent magnet. So they're both misremembering Superman. He has always been, think pro-diversity, pro-immigrant. He's always been someone who fights for and cares about and protects the weak against the powerful. The main villain, Lex Luthor, is a billionaire. And, you know, Superman is protecting the weak from them. Right. And so he's always been that way. And also America has, the reason why Superman was so iconic and why it fits so well into that old slogan of truth, justice, and the American way, which is only in some Superman media, but in some of the most popular, and the American way, is because things like immigration and diversity were the American way. So Superman was representing the American way. It's only this MAGA fictional past that they're trying to get back to that is saying otherwise.
And it wasn't just, you know, one or two a writer they had on who was making this argument. As you heard at the top there in that montage, I mean, it was everybody. It was across the station. It was, you know, everyone on Fox News had agreed that this was terrible. And you cited one piece. I want to read it because you include the actual poster in your piece at ARC Digital. But this was from 1949, showing Superman speaking to a group of school children of different races, saying, quote, "And remember, boys and girls, your school, like our country, is made up of Americans of many different races, religions, and national origins. So if you hear anybody talking about a school, talking against a schoolmate or anyone else because of this of his religion, race, or national origin, don't wait. Tell him that kind of talk is un-American. Help keep your school all American." That was 1949, that poster. I suspect if you know, DC had put that out with their new movie, Fox News would have just the MAGA kiddies over there would have just had their heads explode. So much for that one Fox News yutz you heard who whined, why can't we keep things the same? Or whatever she said. Looks like Superman is keeping it the same as he has all the way back into the 30s and 40s and 50s.
Yeah, it's the whole time. And even among comics fans, that this was part of the reason why Superman has gone through periods of unpopularity. He's not cool. He's very earnest. Or you can hear, you know, Batman, a darker superhero, that we had a big Batman cultural moment, kind of, you know, 90s, 2000, very Batman. Uh-huh. But Batman or others will dismiss him as like, oh, a big blue Boy Scout.
Right.
That's always been who he is. That is at the very essence of it. And even from a fiction writing perspective, he has to be that way because otherwise, because he's so much stronger than everybody else, that otherwise the character is not interesting and has no challenge and could just hurt anybody. And we've seen this actually in a number of recent media has done variations on what if Superman but evil. And an example of this is the show The Boys, where the character Homelander has the same powers as Superman, but he is petty and selfish and craves attention and approval. And the writers are very open about, like, yes, you're supposed to think of Donald Trump when you see him. but you see it just not Superman. There's nobody who watches Homelander who is at all familiar with Superman will think that's the same character, just because Superman's a nice guy. He's always been, that's just who he is, and he's always been that way. And it's only this made up version that they somehow have in their head that Superman in the past was, I don't know, like a white supremacist nationalist, somehow, that you know, despite not even being human, let alone white, although I guess his skin is white, that part gets complicated.
Well, you described that those values of Superman, like truth and justice, that those actually may be a bit of a threat to MAGA because they seem to directly contrast with MAGA's cult leader. You write that Trump's core values are the opposite of Superman's, as you see it.
Yeah, and I take this even further of that with every one of the core values. So much of what MAGA, and this is a big part of what makes it a fascist movement, does more broadly is this idea of inverting things, of where the stuff that you thought was good is bad and stuff that you thought was bad is good. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways Trump embodies this. But as an example of this, that I've been surprised, or maybe shocked is a better word rather than surprised, I find this unsettling of how much of the American right today, especially the Christian right, is opposed to empathy, that really don't like empathy. And so Elon Musk, for example, has argued that empathy is a bug, that it's a fundamental weakness, that we need to get rid of it, it's a civilizational weakness. There are, among the Christian right, there are a lot of popular books that take this on. There's one called The Sin of Empathy by a theologian. There's one called Toxic Empathy, which is a bestseller. That this has been a go-to defense of whenever people object to things like the Trump administration violating rights with deportations, you know, violating due process, not following the proper procedure. And then the counter argument to that is, and I'll quote the activist Chris Rufo here, but that is empathy turned pathological. So it's a political movement that is adamantly opposed to caring about people, or at least caring about somebody who is not in your group, who is not someone that you could think of as us. And clearly they think of a lot of Americans as them. And certainly a lot of non-Americans, most non-Americans, as them. And so the idea that you might care about somebody who is not in that small circle of us is something that they are actively opposed to, that they are arguing is bad, is a sin, is toxic, is a bug, is a weakness. And that is the opposite of Superman, that a basic kindness as a value is what Superman is. It's what he was raised by the Kents to believe. And it's what, if he were not like that, if he did not believe that basic human kindness was a value, then he would be a tyrant. Then he wouldn't be a hero.
Let's talk about some of one of the things that has obviously really touched him off. The idea that Superman, this new woke Superman, is suddenly pro-immigration. Now, I'm Jewish, so I believe I came to understand this at a pretty early age. But do you imagine that the Fox kids and the MAGA influencers even realized that Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, the creators of Superman, were both Jewish? One was an immigrant, the other the child of immigrants in Ohio. They went to high school together. And that Superman, as a character from another planet, was and is and always will be an allegory for immigration in this country. I mean, that's hardly some sort of, you know, new woke idea. And yet it seems to be something that has, pardon the pun, flown straight over their heads over at Fox News.
So I don't know whether they know it or not, but I think the key to understanding this is recognizing that to them, that doesn't matter. So it is a post-truth political movement. So meaning it's not something that, and this is pretty typical of a lot of authoritarian movements around the world and different variations of it, but where the, it's not so much, is this true or is this false? It's what does saying these words advance my cause and help my team or hurt my team in some manner? And then it doesn't matter if it's true or not. And you mentioned a good example of this is you mentioned with Jeffrey Epstein at the beginning. And to, you know, see somebody going, oh, there are tons of these files on our desk. We have them. We're going to release them right away. And then flipping to none of this exists. Don't worry about it. Stop asking. Never mind. Is the sort of thing that, you know, a lot of people would might react to as, clearly one of those has to be false. You're lying to me. And where the strong supporters, at least the ones who are really sticking with him no matter what, which is a lot of the movement, but sticking with him no matter what, react instead as a like, yeah, go my team, take on the other team. Mm-hmm. And it is not really thinking about it as true or false. So I'd be willing to bet that just about all of the Fox News commentators who said stuff about this are aware that Superman is an alien. I mean, that's like people who have never seen a movie or TV show or read a comic book know yes. that. You know, Superman, alien, Krypton, like crash landed in America. That's like the thing that, you know, that's just popular culture.
Right.
As opposed to a comic specifically. So people know that about him. I bet the Fox people did. And I wouldn't be too surprised if a lot of them knew about the creators or at least that it had come up. And so where I'm Jewish also. And so where the I guess to you, to me, maybe to us, that means that things like the diaspora experience or the idea of being a minority where, you know, Superman, I mentioned his skin color, right? That actually maps on pretty well to European Jews that came to America because their skin is the same tone, but they're still other. They're still alien. They're still a minority. And Superman very much is that. He is simultaneously a, you know, like all American boy and a alien, not born on Earth. His parents were not born there, so clearly an immigrant. And but the reaction to that, it's not you know, for the Fox thing, it's not that they have done careful analysis of Superman iconography and the writers and the role in the culture and other stuff. No, I don't believe
they haven't.
They haven't. And you know, it's that sort of impulse. And so here they saw James Gunn say something that they took as, oh, that is somebody against our team. And so then their reaction was, well, we defend the team and we fight against whoever is against our team. And I don't think it was anything more than that. And part of the reason why it sounds so ridiculous, so stupid to anybody who is using the basic is this true or false standard,
right,
is that because they're not only, they're just simply indifferent to it. It is not a standard. They don't care whether it's true or false or not. It doesn't concern them.
Well, it's Fox News. They're not about what is true and false and what is not. But we are on this show, and so if you're a Fox News watcher and you've been watching their segments on Superman, newsflash, Superman is quite literally an illegal alien. He actually comes from another country, and he from another planet, and his background he's you know that it's a secret that he is from another place, et cetera, as he grew up. So he's not just an immigrant. He's also, by the way, as you note, Nicholas Grossman, a refugee. He's fleeing a planet called Krypton that has actually been destroyed in a natural disaster. So that probably sounds very familiar to refugees who are here now in this country, as much as they might have looked toward Superman in decades past. Now refugees might look at him and, think of themselves after they're, you know, fleeing the devastation of earthquakes and hurricanes and floods and droughts and wars, et cetera, and coming to this country, which I think probably speaks to the staying power of Superman, who there are always people, you know, who are refugees, who are aliens, who come from another planet, who are trying to survive. And I think for them, and I think for me growing up, Superman was always sort of a symbol of that.
For me too. And I think for a lot of people. And one of the sad things about what's happening today is other symbols of that, well, globally recognized symbols of that, included the Statue of Liberty and the American flag. Yeah. And while maybe the statue still has that, the flag doesn't, at least not quite as much. It is somewhat tarnished, and Trump and his movement are working constantly to try to change that impression that people have around the world. And you know, it was one of those things. I mean, I mentioned Reagan earlier, but that was a broad consensus that I remember learning in pretty sure elementary school. I'm guessing most yeah. people do, about how the first people that came to America from Europe were religious refugees. So they, mm-hmm. you know, the pilgrims, and they're fleeing religious persecution, and yep. they're here to be able to establish their own life. And then when you actually, you know, put a bit of thought into it, that means nearly all Americans alive today are either the descendants of voluntary immigrants, or they're the descendants of slaves that were forced to come here, who are effectively forced immigrants, unwilling mm-hmm. immigrants. And so just about everybody in the United States, with the exception of a few Native Americans, a small percentage of the population that are Native and their descendants, but well over 90% of Americans today are either immigrants or descendants of immigrants. And a whole lot of them have the either refugee story or something similar, where they are fleeing persecution or fleeing violence or fleeing economic devastation or natural disaster one way or another, and coming to America. And that even just the phrase coming to America was always associated with mm-hmm. people, you know, striving for a better life. And that is something that the MAGA movement is directly opposed to, that their version of America is a one based on blood and soil, that it is something that used to be anathema to the United States, but where, as opposed to the American creed, that if you, you know, adhere to the basic rules of America, you know, free speech, free enterprise, mm-hmm. and free religion, and the rest of it, then you're welcome here and you can make it here. And it is that thing that they are taking on, that... and even in a way that, like so much of this, you know, fascist stuff, it doesn't actually make sense if you examine it. So my favorite recent example of this was the vice president, J.D. Vance, just recently, within the last couple of weeks, argued that people whose ancestors fought in the Civil War have a hell of a lot more claim over America. One, just have to note that he at no point in that speech specified which side of the Civil War.
Yes,
but also worth noting that Donald Trump's family came to America after the Civil War.
Yeah.
So he is an example of a American whose ancestors, you know, came later than that period, and who then had a child in America who was an American citizen under the Constitution, and who then clearly became an American success story. You know, whether you like him or not, he is, but an American success story. And so they are trying to reverse that into something that is simply false. And when confronted with the reality of it, they tend to have this negative emotional reaction, like you saw on Fox bugging out about Superman.
Which is kind of bizarre. I mean, you would think in one sense that they would embrace Superman. The comment that director James Gunn made, that Superman is the story of America, which is, I think you were just explaining very well there. You would think they would embrace that story, but I guess because they have decided he is pro-immigration, they got to turn against the whole thing. And I guess it doesn't help either that, by the way, that Superman is, you know, secretly Clark Kent, a journalist of all things, Nicholas. That's the worst of the worst. But you know, all of this, as I cited at the top, this attack on Superman, of all things, it seems to be of a piece with the right-wing attacks in recent years against Budweiser, against Barbie, against the NFL, really against the most all-American institutions that we have in this country, of all things, now including Superman. Why are those institutions seemingly the targets of these folks, as you see it, when these are, you know, admittedly the most American of American institutions?
Well, because they're trying to rewrite the American story and to make it one where not only do they and people like them have a place of prominence, but where they are the only ones that count. I'll give you another good example of this, of the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. So, you know, very famous celebrity couple. Mm-hmm. And they're amidst a bunch of right-wing culture war arguments about how we need to return to some traditional conception of America and Americana, and which never totally existed, but, you know, which sort of did. Mm. And here you have something that is very stereotypical America. You have, you know, the very talented, basically star of the school play, dating the football star, the star of the football team, mm-hmm. and dating them. And a lot of the American right hates them. And why? Because they express political views that are, you know, Democrat or liberal or progressive, mm. or, you know, anything broadly mm-hmm. not MAGA. And there isn't anything else too. Oh, and, you know, so things like, I don't know, Travis Kelce does PSAs to say, take the COVID vaccine. You know, he's COVID vaccine, and they've decided that the COVID vaccine is something that they're going to lie and do a lot of conspiracy theories about. I don't think that was a conscious, you know, planned out decision, but that's what their position is, that it's something that you need to lie about and to oppose and to show everybody that you oppose. And even though Trump was the president that, you know, helped bring it along. That rushed it forward. Yeah. Maybe the single best thing that he actually did when he was president in his first term, and they hate it and they won't take credit for it. But that he's doing that. So then by doing that, he is signaling that he is on the other team. And as opposed to being like, oh, this is a football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winner. And okay, so maybe I'm somewhat skeptical about the vaccine, but whatever. You know, then it became, oh, we must hate him. Yeah. We must hate him. He has declared himself to be on the other team, as opposed to much as they could have been like, oh, Superman, you know, oh, yeah, that's ours. You know, America's us and Superman is us. Instead of doing that, or here, like, you know, the football star and the pop star dating. Yeah, that's Americana. That's us. Instead of doing that, they can't, because it's a vision of America that is more welcoming, more pluralist, more of what America traditionally actually was, as opposed to the vision that they have in their heads of, well, I don't even know, like a, you know, Jim Crow or slavery era America, where everybody's just like that and accepts that as good.
Oh, that America, that let's make America great again, like that. I mean, the idea that, you know, I think the idea of debate and political disagreement also used to be an American value that was embraced. Apparently no more. Now, to be fair here, I know I have been sort of rough on the Fox News folks. They are not the only one on the right with complaints about Superman. This is from an article that I don't think you cited in your ARC Digital piece. A newspaper complained that Superman, quote, appeals to the ideals of American children under the cry strength, courage, justice, instead of taking wise advantage of the opportunity really to further serious virtues. He sows hate, dissension, injustice, laziness, and crime in your hearts. The paper goes on to call it pitiful that American children must swallow this poison. Well, that's bad, but that paper, it was one called Das Schwarzkorps, described as an organ of Adolf Hitler's SS Guard, elite SS Guard back in 1940, as reported on at the time by the United Press here in the U.S. under the headline, Superman Poisoning American Children, Irate Nazis Claim. So it is not just Fox News and MAGA who has it out for Superman, Nicholas. It is actual Nazis during World War II in 1940 who were complaining about Superman's values in the same way that it seems these Fox News folks were just last week on 2025. I'm not going to call them Nazis, Nicholas, but I think the evidence, well, kind of speaks for itself.
Yeah, I'll give them this much. When they identify truth and justice as values that they are opposed to, they are right. That, you know, they got that accurate. They didn't try to, you know, take it as, oh, they're advocating truth and justice. Well, those are our values too. They're just not doing them quite the way we would. No. Instead, they correctly recognize it as truth, oh, we're opposed to that. And justice, oh, no, we don't like that. And if I was to make, you know, a more philosophical, say, version of it, it would be that the same thing. This is actually a Nazi philosopher, a German philosopher, Carl Schmitt, who made that everything in politics is just friend or enemy. That's all there is. It's the only question that matters, friend or enemy, and not, you know, everything else is secondary. And that is an approach to politics that rejects a idea of universal values. Mm-hmm. Rejects something like a good example of this would be, you can see response to some of the deportations lacking due process. In some of these, they're grabbing people that are totally innocent, that really didn't do anything wrong. And that I would hope to think everybody would agree. But that even with the ones that did, if you're someone who says, you know, oh, well, how do we know that they're a criminal? How do we know if somebody's a criminal? Well, that's why we do a trial and you have to prove it in court and then we punish them. And then, you know, the response is, oh, why are you defending criminals? It's,
right.
I'm not defending criminals. Right. I'm defending a system of criminal justice that will avoid punishing innocent people, or at least reduce the amount of punishment that imposes on innocent people and focuses punishment on criminals. But that's not an us-them politics. That is not a, this is my team and everybody else is the enemy. And the point of politics is then to hurt the enemy. And that's what makes me feel strong and good and positive. It's not that. It's a more universal politics, a welcoming pluralist, what for a long time used to be called American politics. And that is, whether they articulate it this way or not, that is what they're opposed to. That, of course, they think truth is a value they need to fight against because they lie all the time, just lied so much, you know, so often, such egregious lies, up is down lies. We mentioned just easy example of that stuff with Jeffrey Epstein, that, you know, the attorney general saying, I have this on my desk right now, and then, no, that never existed. What are you talking about? Like, clear, that is not somebody who believes in truth as a value. It's not, you know, clearly somebody who is happy to throw that aside. And same thing with justice, that if you believe in justice as a value, then even if you're a Republican, you would say, well, Donald Trump committed serious crimes, committed crimes against the United States. He has been convicted by a jury in court with all the due process and every opportunity with lawyers to defend himself. So that means he should go to jail. And if you instead believe in a us-them type of partisanship, it's, I don't care that he did all these crimes. Or even in many cases, people wouldn't say that because they don't want to think of themselves as somebody who doesn't care about crime. Instead, then this is where they, you know, will fall into conspiracy theories, just make up a lot of rationalizations or find a way to reject inconvenient facts. And I do think that's something that's changed. One of my favorite politician quotes is by a late senator from New York, my senator growing up, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, who said, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not their own facts. And that's where a big thing of what I think we've lost, and which the Superman value thing really does highlight, is what's being challenged is, it's not, oh, I have a different opinion than you. You think taxes should be lower, I think taxes should be higher. You think we should spend on healthcare, I think we should spend less on healthcare. You think we should have more people accepted for asylum, someone else thinks there should be fewer people, whatever it is, that those are opinions. Instead of something like a fact of, there are 10 million murders by illegal immigrants. No, they're not. That is simply not true. That's nothing remotely close to true. And so we can't have a conversation about, should we, you know, what do we do about immigration if we don't even have a factual basis? Because if it's true that there were 10 million murders by illegal immigrants, that is a very different situation than if there are,
right,
I don't know, five.
Then if they actually lower the crime rate in the United States, something that, well, they don't like to talk about that. But if they're, you know, we've been making those arguments for a long time. I don't know. Maybe it will jump out. Some of the folks out there hearing this, maybe they'll start realizing, you know what? I'm going against Superman. What? Like, I'm joining the Nazis to do that? That article I mentioned from 1940, Superman poisoning American children, irate Nazis claim. I should note the United Press report noted that the creators of Superman, Jerry Siegel and Joel Shuster, were Jewish. The report, it was the UP, the United Press, reporting on a Nazi newspaper in which they then went on to attack Siegel and Shuster for being Jewish. And I should also mention at the end of the United Press article on that, which apparently was run by a newspaper in Springfield, Illinois, that carried the Superman comic strip at the time. They added, Superman is a feature of the Springfield Daily News. The news thinks it will continue it for a while anyway, even risking Nazi disapproval. So I guess the Springfield Daily was one of those woke news outlets in your state out there in Illinois, Nicholas. I got to get out, but I do hope you were right about the rest of the analysis in your excellent article. I'll link folks to as right about that as you were near the end when you wrote, quote, I bet the new Superman movie will be a success despite MAGA complaints about its values. Well, apparently it has been a success. It grossed like $130 million at the box office in the opening weekend. And that seems to me to be a positive message about truth, justice, and yes, the American way, triumphing over the evil interlopers who have temporarily taken over our nation's governing apparatus. Nicholas?
I think so, too. Good. One thing really quick. I think so, too. But I think it also highlights, though, how probably a lot of people who saw it, I bet a lot of Trump voters went to see it, too.
Yep.
And were not sitting there thinking, oh, this is lecturing me or something like that. And where part of the turnoff, and, you know, this will never turn off all of them at once, but is, you know, maybe a few see something like that and a reactive like, I don't want to be complaining about Superman.
Right.
Like, I just want to go and see the superhero movie. Right. I don't want to have like how this is, I'm somehow betraying my team if I go see a guy in blue tights punch things, you know, like that's, it's just not, it shouldn't be that way. And where I always wonder sometimes with a lot of the MAGA culture warring stuff is, don't you get exhausted? You know, isn't it tiring? Like, or on Sundays, don't you want to just watch a football game without complaining about it?
Yeah.
Or like seeing some politics in it? Just watch people play football. It's fun.
Go watch Superman. It's just fun. We will link to Nicholas Grossman's article, Why MAGA Hates Superman. He stands for truth, justice, and an American way that Trump is tearing down. You can and should sign up for his newsletter, ARC Digital, by going to grossman.arcdigital.media. Come for the Superman, stay for the drones and terrorism. You can also find him on the Blue Skies at Nicholas Grossman. Nick, great speaking with you, sir. Let's not make it 3 years until we do it again.
Thanks for having me, Brad.
You bet.
And I'd be happy to. Absolutely.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, that was fun.
Yes.
And any thoughts, Lois?
Basically, I agree with him that MAGA is exhausting and their constant culture war stuff is exhausting.
God,
and I hope someday they will get back to the idea of accepting Superman for what he has always been.
How about accepting reality?
That too. That would be good.
Just that. Just accept reality. But we'll start with Superman. Brother. All right. I got to get out. Thanks again to Nicholas Grossman. Thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen. And thanks to all of you for spending a portion of your day or night with us. We hope we made it worth your while. If you'd like to listen to any portion of the program again, if you missed any, if you want to share it with friends, family, or enemies, you can do so. Arch enemies. You can do so for free at bradblog.com. Thanks to those of you who are kind enough to hit a donate button when you stop by, or go straight to bradblog.com/donate to help us stay on your public airwaves at this very difficult time. Drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com. And on the social medias, especially Blue Sky, you will find me at the Brad Blog. See you there until we see you here, hopefully tomorrow. I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.
You're listening to The Bradcast. We are 100% listener supported, thanks to listeners like you who drop by bradblog.com/donate.